This leader is provided to permit the projectionist to complete adjustment of focus and sound level before the film begins.
On today's show, man, we've got so much going on. We're going to talk about the NIL. We're going to talk about the WNBA. We're going to talk about the NBA with the playoffs. I got so many guests, and they're all awesome, and they're ready to go right now.
Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
That's right, it's the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. April 21st, 2024. I'm excited. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. We got a few guests that are going to chime in and give us their expertise. Thank you for all the stuff you do. And I really appreciate the contributions to the polls that you guys are doing on the Facebook, the JLSBX polls and such. Also on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Thank you for all that. Hey, give us a rating. Give us some ideas. Do whatever you want. We'll make the show better. This has been a great little journey, only a few weeks into the process, and we're just getting warmed up. Before I bring on my guest here, this is also the show where we answer such questions as...
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, there's a lot of going on here, and we're going to tackle it here in just a second. First things first, public service announcement from yours truly. There's a thing called nachos. They are chips covered with cheese and other goodies on them. When you go to a ballpark and they have nachos on the menu, and they hand you a plastic tray with chips and a little pocket of cheese, that cheese that'll sit in your colon for the next 35 years. I'm not knocking it. In fact, I probably still have that cheese from being at Rosenblatt in 1989 still in me somehow. I'm not knocking it, but we cannot call that nachos. That is chips and cheese. You can throw as many jalapenos as you want into that whatever that substance is, we can call it whatever you want, but it's not nachos. And here to either argue with me or validate what I'm talking about is none other than Frank Rapier and Dennis Brown. Guys, what's up?
Good morning, Josh.
Frank,
how's everybody doing?
We're doing good. Frank, I'm going to start with you. Am I out of bounds in saying that,
no.
that's we can't call that nachos?
No, you're right. It's chips and cheese, and it doesn't matter, like you said, unless there's ground beef or chicken, and like some pico, and you know, black beans and other like good toppings on it. It's, you know, an excuse to charge you $9 for like an ounce of cheese and 2 ounces of chips.
Well, see, that's why when you buy that garbage and they have the jalapeno like bar over to the side, you're like, I'm going to make up the difference in what I just spent on this fucking shit in jalapenos. Like, and even though they're canned or jarred jalapenos, I'm getting as much as I could possibly fit onto this fucking thing. And I'm trying not to be so angry about it, but I'm just saying you can't call that nachos. I'm going up to the concession
stand.
Yeah.
And then with adding those jalapenos onto the nachos, you end up like shitting like a flamethrower afterwards. So you pay the price both ways.
And I'm okay with that. It's just, I think there needs to be like a snack bar sanctioning body to like, you know, a guy with a clipboard to like go up to, you know, whatever and be like, sirs, you must remove nachos from your menu and call it chips and cheese. You have a 48-hour window to correct this. Otherwise, it's a $10,000 fine. And I said, good day. Like, there needs to be some... We have czars in this country, like traffic czars, homeless czars. We need a snack czar is what we need.
A nacho czar for the nacho bar.
That's what... Look at you, Frank. Let's get that rap album going right away as soon as we can get on. Dennis, what say you?
I agree with everything you guys said.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess if I ran into a, you know, like a true Mexican or something, and he said, no, that's nachos, then I'd be like, yeah, you guys are wrong. But I'll go with what you said.
Yeah, this is true. Just like my grandma used to make back in you know, Guadalupe, you know, she used to have this plastic tray and would dump like plastic and oil and cheddar cheese in this thing that's been melted in a vat, and you know, we'd call that nachos, you know. So
and I would have had to do all that through, you know, Google Translate.
Correct. Yes.
Because it's a true Mexican as opposed to a false Mexican.
Exactly. So, yeah. Right.
True Mexican, a new series on Netflix this fall. Okay. So.
Starring Lou Diamond Phillips.
That's right. You know what? When I get Lou on this show, I want to ask him that the first question. How do you feel as a Native American being cast as a Mexican all the time? Like, is that kind of fucked up? And I want him to answer, dude, it's a paycheck. I mean, you know, fuck
well,
it.
Well, I mean, Mexican Indians are just Mexicans that wandered up north.
Yeah, there you go. Well, if you really want to break it down, they crossed the Alaskan, you know, from Asian Siberia. You know what? That's for a different podcast with Neil deGrasse Tyson. We'll get to that later. So, moving on from snacks and snack-based arguments. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about NIL, name, imaging, licensing. We all know what it is by now. Most people do. It's what's made college athletes millionaires without having to leave college. Before you guys give me your thoughts about this, my quick little take is I compartmentalize this into the category of be careful what you wish for shit. Because if we go back in time 5-6 years ago, I was totally for this because back, you know, in the day, NCAA would fuck people up and wouldn't, you know, scholarship athletes. It's like you're given a free ride to go to a college that a lot of people can't do. I get that. But if you're 19 and you want to go on a date and you have no money, what the fuck are you supposed to, you're a kid. You know, and then the NCAA won't allow you to have a part-time job. I was always for the athlete in that sense where that's bullshit. Now, it has gone way off the rails where now the athlete is making way more than their fucking coaches. And always kind of the beauty of college sports was these are student athletes. They're not pros. They're not prima donnas. Like, is a pro athlete going to listen to his coach when he makes 18 times what his coach makes? Well, now that's becoming the thing in college sports. I'm going to start with you, Dennis. NIL, is it good, bad? What are your thoughts about it?
I guess I'm probably somewhere in the middle. Like, I definitely think they should get paid. And, you know, I don't want to insinuate that I don't think they should be getting paid as much as they are because they make those universities tons of money.
Yes,
and
they do.
They've been ripping them off for years. So they've had to go, you know, behind their backs and get deals like Reggie Bush. And then they take his Heisman for it. But now that all these guys are making all this money, it's like, we'll just give that guy his Heisman back. You know, they've been doing it forever. And I don't see a problem with it because if you don't pay them, then it's just going to be the whole Reggie Bush thing all over again. And especially now that you're paying them, you can never go back. You know, this can never be overturned, something that they're going to stop doing. So it's probably going to get even more out of hand. But the one good thing about it is, though, is some of these kids will stay because they'll make more money to stay their senior year than to go in the NFL draft, especially if they think they're going to be a late round draft pick, you know, and they could make, you know, $3.5 million, $4 million to stay in college. They'll do that and, you know, could make competition a little bit better.
Frank, what say you?
The concept is good. The execution is not good. And here's the problem with NIL. This has been something that was cooking for a long time, and the NCAA saw it coming. But the NCAA didn't think the Supreme Court was going to rule in favor of the athletes, so they put absolutely no fucking guardrails in place for this. They had no idea that once it happened, how they were going to govern it. So what ended up happening is the idea that if I play college football and Slappy's Cadillac wants to put my name, my image, or my likeness on a poster and pay me for it, that's what the concept of it was to begin with. I could get a deal with Burger King. You know, I could get a deal with Raising Cane's. I could get a deal with Amazon, whatever. Now, since there are no guardrails, it's basically become these universities set up collectives, and they pay the players. I mean, for example, the University of Texas has a pancake club, which basically they just pay all their offensive linemen $100,000 a year. So they're not even going out there and getting on a State Farm commercial. They're just getting paid to go to school. And the problem with that is now you're going to run into schools that are very, very rich, like Texas, Texas A&M, you know, Notre Dame. They're going to be able to outbid all of these other schools for these 4- and 5-star athletes that they want to come to come play football for them, or baseball or basketball or whatever it is. So you're going to start seeing NIL is going to create an even bigger gap in the talent that we're seeing on fields. You're going to see 20 teams that are going to be super competitive, and the rest of them are going to be middle of the road.
You're hitting on something that I've been thinking about, that part of the negative of this is the recruiting aspect or unfair bias that it can create. For example, let's say you're a 5-star quarterback / pitcher. You're the big man on campus at a high school in Idaho, and you may have NFL talent just inside you, and you're offered a full ride for the Vandals, or you can go be second string at Alabama. But the difference is, second string at Alabama could make you $500,000 while you're there. What would you choose? So that's
$500,000 a year.
Correct. Sitting on the bench. Or go start for the Vandals and play against Wyoming and never be seen on TV. That's kind of where there's a huge conflict in this going on. Would you agree?
Yeah. So what do you think they do about it?
I don't think there's anything they can do about it at this point. I mean, the NCAA has been completely neutered by the SEC and the Big Ten. They basically said, you know what? Fuck you. We're going to do what we want. And the NCAA really can't do a damn thing about it. So as long as they're okay with the way it works, you know, as in they being the SEC and the Big Ten, I don't think anything will ever change.
They're too big for their britches, basically. Like, you know, the can of worms has been open, so on and so forth. So then I ask you guys, if you're a smaller Big Five team, like let's say, you know, you're you know, a Colorado, a Northwestern, a Vanderbilt, something like that. How do you recruit? Do you use NIL in a different way? Do you say, hey man, come to Vanderbilt. This is in Nashville. You know, you could probably meet a bunch of country. Like, do you
could take a guitar shot from Jeff Jarrett.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Do you pimp the town now instead of the sport that you're good at or something like that? How would you recruit at this point if you're not, you know, the biggest 20 schools in football? How would you do that?
Well, if you're trying to recruit some of the top players, you're not going to get them. That's just a fact.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, I agree. I'm just saying if you wanted to, how would you go about it? Do you sell the town? Do you sell, because you can't sell the position in the school if you're not, you know, if you're Vanderbilt, you don't, you know, your schedule is loaded with Tennessees and Alabamas and Georgias. You're probably going to get your ass kicked, but it was kind of fair in the sense where it's like, well, they can offer 25 scholarships. I can offer 25 scholarships, but now they can offer 25 scholarships plus the limelight and make zillions of dollars. Like, how would you even go about getting any good players coming to your school?
I think the only way you could do it is you could go to a high four-star quarterback and say, look, I know you're looking at LSU. I know you're looking at Texas. You're looking at Oklahoma. You're looking at Alabama. You're looking at all of these schools. You're going to be another five-star athlete that's there trying to compete. If you come here, you're going to start. But then what's going to end up happening is they're going to go to that school. They're going to put up amazing stats. They're going to have a great fucking season. And then one of those big schools are going to reach out and say, hey, so you've proven your value. Now I can get you a guaranteed $1.5 million NIL deal with Shakey's Pizza or whatever.
Get your ass
just
in the portal.
LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, get in the portal, transfer to LSU, and then we'll have this NIL deal sitting and waiting for you. So that, I mean, basically trying to recruit them away from talent and competition is probably, I think, the only way that a Vanderbilt, or I mean, even like an Iowa State or, you know, one of those schools, anything like that, are going to have a chance. But it's still probably never going to happen.
Do you think?
No, but that.
Go on, Dennis. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say what Frank was saying is, yeah, very viable. I mean, that's how they can be good for 1 year. You know, the kid can come in, put up crazy numbers, and then, you know, he's in the portal.
Do you think NIL could work if the transfer portal wasn't instantaneous? Like, if it went back to the old school rules where you got to sit out a year, do you think maybe that could be the way to make NIL work? I'm gonna go with no with your.
Yeah, I. So,
because I was hitting on what you were saying, where it's like a guy could show his worth, and the season be done in December. He plays the bowl game, and then by April, now he's transferring to another school, because of the big things he's promised. But if it was the old school rules where you got to sit out an entire season, do you think that could even it out? That can make it fair?
Yeah, and I also think maybe, like, if they could figure out a way to enforce some guardrails, something like, okay, if you sign an NIL deal, it has to be like a two-year minimum, so you have to stay at the school for at least 2 years. And then if you transfer prior to that, then it nulls the deal and you have to pay a penalty back. But now you're looking at contracted athletes. And so, and at the end of the day, I think that's where it's going to end up being, because universities, like I said, universities are creating NIL initiatives that have nothing to do with putting your name, image, and likeness on a product. You're putting it on the university.
Right. And I'm glad that you phrased it and said it the way you said it, because, and that might be a way to correct it, and it's unfortunate. It might be contracted players at this point, like a contracted scholarship, but that's not that bad of an idea, because after all, these people are 18 years old or older, which means they're eligible to sign a contract. They're adults. So a university could absolutely tell an athlete, you're going to play here. You need to be here for as many X amount of years, so on and so forth. Oh, my. Did we ever think it would come down to this 30 years ago?
I think it would come down to this 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. It's changed so rapidly. And my youngest son, Caius, he was given an assignment to debate this in class, and he shined like a star that he is, And his biggest key point was Caden Proctor, if you guys are aware of who that is, from around where I live now, Southeast Polk, here in the middle of Iowa. Signed with Iowa, went to Alabama. Went back to Iowa, went back to Alabama. Hasn't played a fucking down at Iowa, but has been there twice and has just left again. So this is what we've created.
Didn't he also go back to Iowa, sign an NIL deal,
yes,
get some money, and then go back into the portal?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that guy on your team anyway. Yeah, no, yeah. And then you hear stories about, like, Nick Saban, and it would say that they would call a five-star recruit to come on a recruiting visit. And they'd say, okay, how much money are you going to give me to come on the visit? And it's like, so now we're offering you a full ride scholarship, come play for one of the best college football teams over the last 20 years. And you want me to pay you to show up on campus just to visit?
Well, as I wrote down here in my notes, you can use any phrase you want to use. The inmates running the asylum, the clowns running the circus, or the monkeys running the zoo. But basically, the kids should not be running the parents or the players running the coaches. But that's unfortunately where we are with this. Mm-hmm. Moving on, and with kind of a similar theme here. Last week, the WNBA had its draft, its 28th draft, the first one anyone's ever paid attention to. And that's because of, shocker, Caitlin Clark, who went number one. And all week long, we had to suffer these dumb shit memes that compared her contract against Victor Wembanyama's contract from the NBA last year. What I find, first of all, you know what? I get it. The people, the social justice warriors out there, they want to champion things that they don't understand. Does anybody understand that the WNBA generates zero money, and Caitlin Clark has already made more money than she'll ever make in the WNBA ever? Like, she's already made that. And thanks to Nil. And she just signed, what was it, a $20 million deal with Nike yesterday? So
28.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
But she also signed like a $7 million deal with Gatorade. She signed one besides a Nike deal. She's got the deal with State Farm, the one with Hy-Vee. There was a whole list of places that I read online that she signed NIL deals with. Or not NIL, but endorsement deals with. So she's not hurting for money.
That's what I'm saying. Who the fuck is sad for her? Like, and I don't get it. Like, where is this coming from? Well, it comes from dipshits. My question.
Yep.
Dennis, I'll ask you first. With all the hype around her, and I know we talked about this before, but it's picking up more steam. Give me a percentage point or give me something. How many more viewers watch the WNBA compared to last year moving forward? 1% more? 5% more? Who?
Well, they'll probably get a little bump initially because everybody's going to be curious and want to see her play. I imagine the first time she plays against Angel Reese, they're going to want to see that. So that game will probably get pretty decent ratings. But the problem is all these other women in the WNBA are hating on her really bad, and they're kicking a lot of shade her way, which is crazy to me because she's the first person to come along that could actually help the WNBA turn a fucking profit.
Absolutely.
And I mean, she literally is the golden goose, and she could help flip the script on this thing. They've never had a player like that before, and she could do this. They're pissed for two reasons. She's not a fucking lesbian, and she's white. And she's getting all the love, and they are fucking irritated. So,
but they shouldn't,
as far as I'm,
because they're going to get eyeballs on their goddamn product because of her.
And that's the whole point. And that's how stupid they are. There have been lots of people that have tried to help them out, and they'll go right on Twitter and blast them. NBA players have tried to help him out. Luka Doncic went on, did a video talking about whatever the fucking team is down there. And then the girl goes on Twitter and says, you were forced to do that video. It's like, bitch, you should be glad that that dude took 10 seconds out of his fucking day to even do that video.
Yeah.
Your league is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. They're trying to help you make it matter. Now you have a girl coming along that may actually make it sort of matter, and you're all pissing all over her. It's absurd and funny at the same time. And because I hate them so much, I would think it would be hilarious to watch them completely blow this thing up.
I've always, in the past year or two, I've compared her to Michael Jordan on several accounts, and I always get a snicker or a laugh. It's like, she's not Michael Jordan. I'm like, yes, she's not Michael Jordan. But here's the comparison. There's already been a bump in sales for Indiana road games coming up in the upcoming WNBA season. That's Jordan-esque. That's the Michael Jordan comparison I keep trying to tell people. It's like, and she may average 5.2 points a game next year. I doubt it, but she may. But it doesn't matter right now because they're selling tickets right fucking now.
It's the mainstream impact. Michael Jordan had that too. That's what he had when he came along. Larry and Magic, you know, a lot of people talk about them saving the league, and sure, they did with their rivalry. But let's not get it fucked up. It was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the reason the league went where it went. They just got people to start watching it again. They got it to where advertisers wanted to be a part of the league again. And then when Michael Jordan showed up, it was next level shit. And that's what she could do right now for them if all these fucking idiot feminist lesbians would get on board with it and just let it happen. Who gives a fuck if she's white? Who cares? It doesn't matter. The reason nobody knows how good any of you are is because you're all fucking boring. You all played in college too. You could have set all them records too, but you weren't good enough. And now you're going to hate on her because everybody wants to back the truck up to her. Morons. It's embarrassing.
Frank, comments?
I agree with you about the bump. And I can see there is going to be a bump because at the WNBA draft, when they were talking before the picks happened, they were 100% sure that Caitlin Clark was going first. And they were talking about how ESPN is going to show like 98% of their games next year, some shit like that, like 48 out of 52 or something, however, like ridiculous. So ESPN is completely on board with this. So they're going to do everything they can to get eyes on the product. Doesn't mean people will tune in and watch, but the first year, maybe second year, then we'll see where it goes from there. But to get back to your point about the meme, I'm just going to throw some names out here. Nike, Gatorade, Bose, State Farm, Buick, Hy-Vee, H&R Block, Tops, Shoot Away, and Goldman Sachs have all signed Caitlin Clark to endorsement deals. So if you fucking people are pissed off that she's making $76,000 a year and Wemby's making $55 million a year, I guarantee you with what I just read, she's going to be in that neighborhood. There's no question about it. And what happens after this year? Who knows? You're right. She might average 5 points a game. She might blow her knee out. God forbid. I hope it doesn't happen.
Knock on wood, Frank.
Yeah, the lesbians may take a shine to her. Who knows?
Oh yeah, they'll Tonya Harding that bit.
I wasn't going that far, but you're right. You are right too. If every player in the WNBA could figure out that just by having her in that league, it is going to benefit every fucking one of them.
Yeah.
Then this is going to be a win.
And she's going to need a villain. Somebody's going to have to rise up and be really, really good on another team. And she's going to need a villain for this entire thing to work. She's not going to be able to do it by herself.
Well, so I mean, it's funny
Diana
you say. Funny.
Has already thrown a shit ton of shade at her.
Yeah, no shit. but yeah. It needs to be somebody a little bit younger. But it's funny you say
she's fucking old.
It's funny you say that, Dennis, because in my mind, when you said that, I picture some higher up at the NBA / WNBA or TNT, whoever's broadcasting these games, having a sit down with somebody in the next month, being like, "Hey, look, we got a truckload of money, and you need to talk shit about her, and you need to play well, and we got it. We got to make this a Magic Larry thing." You know,
oh, they could fucking throw a rock and hit somebody that wants to do that in that league with her.
But
they all hate her.
But they're going to need script writers. They need some clever stuff written for said person instead of just, you know, the same old mundane shit.
Yeah, no, they need to go full WWE if they're going
to make
what
the I'm
WNBA
saying. Yes.
work.
Sports entertainment, baby.
It's absolutely my number one on Mount Rushmore of worst fucking leagues to ever exist and be perpetuated on the human condition.
So what you're saying,
even
Josh,
worse than tag?
Yeah, I would rather watch fucking professional tag or beanbag throwing bags or any shit like that.
The Ocho is waiting for you.
Yeah. So what we're gonna have is we're gonna have like game on the line, and Caitlin Clark's gonna be at the free throw line, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Cam the back.
That's right.
That'd be
all
great.
Right. Yeah, and then
we need a run in. We need a run in from someone from a team that's not involved in that game. You know,
Maya Moore.
Yeah, there you go. You know, pull the ankles like Jimmy Hart. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is probably in the 36 years that I've been doing this podcast with you. I think that is the most WNBA players' names that have ever been mentioned. Actually,
how about
in any setting?
how about Brittany Griner rappels down from the ceiling?
Well, hopefully they do it Sting style and not Owen Hart style.
Hey,
that's all I'm gonna say.
I was just gonna say, how dare you? Let's not besmirch Owen Hart there. The real quick with Caitlin in the WNBA, I think will be successful because of now a lot of people. She shoots from the logo and there's all that shit. She also led the NCAA in assists, which a lot of people forget. She had like 8.9 assists. That's 9 assists a game. That's Magic Johnson numbers. Now, as a guy, I don't imagine you guys watched a lot of Iowa women's basketball over the past 3 years. I have. She averaged almost 9 assists a game, and she probably had 9 failed assists a game because of her teammates missing layups. That's not going to happen at the professional level. So she may not come out shooting from the logo, but don't be surprised if she has 11 to 14 assists. Like she dishes the ball very well, and those chicks on her team aren't going to miss. So I think she will be successful. Even if she's not scoring, she'll find a way.
They won't miss as much.
Yeah. Thank you for
still human.
I'm sorry. I've seen the fucking WNBA blooper reels and they're fucking long. You can fucking, they're like a biblical scroll when you're looking through those things.
Well, Caitlin Clark, the 70 to 100 millionaire, God bless, hopefully it works out for you.
You know what's really going to piss the other fucking women off on the other teams? Her teammates are going to fucking love her. When it comes out in the media that one of her teammates is like, "Oh yeah, Caitlin, bought us all Mercedeses for making it to the playoffs."
Right.
Yeah, you know who's not a big fan apparently is Antonio Brown. I'm just going to leave that alone.
When they all show up to the game wearing fucking Rolexes that she bought all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, didn't I see something too that the Indiana Fever in like the first week she was after she was drafted or since she was drafted has sold more jerseys than the Dallas Cowboys did last year? That I may I, be misquoting that.
I believe
it,
though.
Like that.
Yeah, something like that. So why not shit on her if you're part of that league? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're mad because she's not only she's white, she's pretty hot too, and that really irritates them, especially a lot of them fucking horse-faced lesbians.
Dennis Brown, everybody,
you got to warn me. I damn near spit out my Diet Pepsi. You got to warn me when you say horse-faced. Yeah.
Well, just expect it at all times.
I will.
Oh, God. May I put on my Karnak hat like Johnny Carson and predict something real quick? With the money she's making from the WNBA, which is fucking peanuts compared to what she's going to make sponsor-wise, watch her take her entire salary and donate it to a charity, and then the next day, the fucking assholes of the world condemn every other male athlete for not doing the same. You know what I mean?
Like
Caitlin Clark only made $76,000 this year, and she donated it all to Puppies Without Faces. And, well, what did Patrick Mahomes do? You know?
Yep.
By the way, Puppies Without Faces, if that charity exists, please give them a dollar or two. They need faces.
There's a difference.
Isn't that actually a hip-hop band?
Well, let's start it. Moving on.
Patrick Mahomes is making $55 million, though.
Right, because he's a man. Yeah. That's the only reason.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. So, the April Radness brackets have been released here on the JLSBX. And there's four categories. We're going to talk about two of them real quick before we get you guys out of here. One bracket, and I'll start with you, Frank. Concessions at a sporting event. Who do you think are the early favorites on that? And it has to be, this category is things you can consume. So no giant finger or no, you know, the weird like monkey snake that the kids roll. You ask me something you could consume. Who are the odds on favorite? Hot dog, beer, cotton candy? Who do you like?
Beer. I'm going to say hot dog. If it's at a baseball game, maybe Cracker Jacks, if they still do that. Actually, no, that's probably a 15 seed, Cracker Jacks. So like beer, hot dog, I think those are pretzel. Pretzel, I think, would probably be up there.
Yeah. I think Cracker Jacks, and the brackets will be revealed tomorrow, but I think Cracker Jacks is getting in as a, what do you call that? The
play-in,
because it's involved in the fucking song, you know, so it kind of has to be there. But if you ask anybody under the age of 25, they wouldn't know what the fuck you're even talking about when it comes to Cracker Jack. Dennis, what do you like when you're at a ball game?
I mean, it's the same thing, beer, hot dog, you know, chips and cheese, or nachos, I mean.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh.
see how this conversation had its way of coming back around to what it was? Yeah, there you are. Do either one of you guys, and I've never done this, but either one of you guys ever been somewhere where there was something a little bit fancier? You know what I mean? Like, maybe like a steak or like, something like that, something that might have been in the $20 to $30 range, where it's like, this is off the grill, made to order. Have either one of you guys ever had anything like that?
I've seen steak, and I haven't been there, but when the Chargers were still in San Diego, apparently they would have sushi and crab and things like that. And I'm like, well, no wonder the team moved out. They couldn't afford concessions. A steak was probably the fanciest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would be skeptical of eating the crab at a Chiefs game, but at a Chargers game, absolutely. The fucking ocean's right there, you know, so yeah, I get that. Dennis, have you ever had anything fancy at a ball game?
No, I haven't.
Neither
I've been to a zillion Oklahoma Sooner games. It was always hot dogs and shit.
There you go. A second bracket we have going on here, getting a little bit of pop culture into the mix of the show. Villains from 80s and 90s movies, and because we're of the same age, about-ish.
Dennis, who you got your early favorites on? We've got villains like Hans Gruber is out there. The Terminator. What do you got?
Yep. Yeah, no, I like the Gruber brothers. I think Hans and Simon both.
That's not good call. Wesley from Roadhouse. I mean, you know, and then of course there's your Jasons and Freddies and so on and so forth like that. I don't think making the bracket, and you guys tell me if I'm ridiculous here, and I probably am. The Predator is not going to make the list because I'm getting a little semantic here. Is he really a villain? He's just a hunter, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was going to mention him, you know, because you know, he killed Jesse Ventura.
Well, okay.
Like, you know, that's... Yeah.
But Jesse was armed with the coolest fucking gun ever in a movie, a big old chopper gun.
That's true.
But I mean,
I'm going to go off the grid here. I'm going to go kind of way out. You know who one of the worst villains in the 80s and 90s, I thought it was Blair's cerebral palsy cousin Jerry from The Facts of Life. I didn't trust that bitch.
She wanted to be a stand-up comedian, Frank.
Yeah? She's not drunk. She has cerebral palsy. Congratulations.
If anybody's still listening to the show, apologize to the lesbian basketball players and people with cerebral palsy, comedians. You know. I'm going to get you guys on.
I said
here.
What I said.
Yeah, you said what you said.
What about Biff Tannen?
Oh, fuck.
Nice
that guy.
Call. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, because that's such a great lighthearted movie, attempted rapist, Biff Tannen, you know? And, I mean, really,
yeah.
You know, what about Jenny? Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, oh, yeah. What about Clever Lang, too?
See? But he was just trying to be champ, man. You know?
Okay.
Ivan Drago. Ivan Drago is more of a villain.
Well, because he killed Apollo Creed.
But you're...
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was a revenge fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
You hit the nail on the head with Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Maybe
yeah,
not
she's
a,
awful.
Maybe not a villain, but quite possibly the worst person in a movie ever. Just a horrible person.
Apparently, a lot of people hit the nail on the head because didn't she die of AIDS in the movie? Oh,
she
wait.
Did, and she might have given it to Forrest. So, I mean, yeah, you. Well, with that being said, thanks for joining us, guys. Any final words before we get you out of here?
I have none. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Frank Rapier.
Yeah,
Dennis,
same.
Frank Rapier and Dennis Brown. We'll be back in just a second. The JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Back in a minute.
Like what you're hearing, share us, tell a friend, and spread the word. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and many more. Don't be a fucking bastard.
Comparing Kyrie to you. And I think he was saying that Kyrie has a more complete handle package. Is that something you agree with?
Hell yeah. He got the best.
Kyrie has the best.
He's the best. And Steph handle is crazy. But Steph and Kyrie jumper is wet too. But Steph, his jumper get him over a lot. Because he hits you with the hands
so
up.
So afraid of the jumper.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he cross half court, he can let it go.
So you think Kyrie has the best handles ever?
Ever.
Wow.
Ever? Who you think? Kyrie will have you beat and then bring it back and play with it. Like he toy with people. You know what I mean? Like he can still just go. You know what I mean? But if he feel like playing with you.
So where's my boy falling into that white chocolate?
Yeah, up there.
That's who I would say have the best handles ever.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
That's right, we are back. It is the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, doing all that you do to spread the word about the world of sports ball that we talk about here. Now, with me right now, We haven't talked any association here in a few weeks, but we're going to talk it right now. My man from the Pacific Northwest, Mr. TJ Fuller. TJ, what's up, man?
It's an honor to be here.
It's been a time or two since I've seen you, man, or talked to you, anything like that. Hey, I would like to give you a little bit of a warm-up or a softball, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hit you with a hard question first. Who's the greatest pro wrestler of all time?
It's the Icon, Shawn Michaels, obviously.
What the?
The greatest wrestler of all time is a mix of mic skills and ring skills, and nobody else has them both. There's better guys in the ring, there's better guys on the mic, but there's only one Icon.
Wow, this is controversial here on the GLSBX. So when we did our polls, Hulk Hogan ran away with it, followed by Ric Flair. There was a few others. There was hardly any love for Shawn Michaels. But you're giving Shawn
Michaels...
Too
many moms on Facebook, you know? You
is
need
that
to get
the thing?
Those polls
yeah.
out into the world.
So I'm one of those dickheads that's like, well, Bret Hart, you know, he's the technician. He's the man. But if we're mixing everything, you know, Stone Cold, you know, he brought new life to the WWE, what was then F. He brought new life to it and saved the company. But then again, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and you say Shawn Michaels.
I mean, don't you think a lot of those guys, their matches turned into cartoons in the second half of their career, right? I mean, Austin's matches were predictable like Hogan's matches were predictable. That's not true of the Heartbreak Kid.
Okay. All right. Your answer is not wrong. You've done well. By the way, my favorite clip there is the "I'm sorry, I love you." You know what clip I'm talking about, right?
I don't know if I do.
You don't know that? Okay, the sweet chin music he gave Ric Flair in the retirement match in like WrestleMania in like 2008 or 9. Ric Flair's final match. Well, and he's skirted that in some way, but whatever. Either way, the famous clip was Shawn Michaels got to retire Ric Flair, which is an honor. And the famous,
absolutely.
The famous clip before he gave him sweet chin music, he goes, "I'm sorry, I love you." And then delivered it, hit him with it, pinned him, got the 1, 2, 3, and then they made out, you know, and all that shit.
As you do when you're at the end of any good career.
As you do. Well, see, WrestlePod with Josh Lamb here, apparently. That's why heading into this follow WrestleMania, it was assumed that Roman Reigns would probably take on The Rock because it would be a foregone conclusion. That would be a retirement match and so on and so forth. Because if you're going to retire somebody, you pick who you want to retire you. You know what I mean? And, well, you know what I mean.
You yeah, should you, have that choice, right? Right. Except for Vince. I think Vince has lost the opportunity to get that choice.
He sure
but
has.
Everyone else should choose who gets to retire him.
I want Stephanie to... or Triple H. It doesn't matter. Well, that's a different show altogether. Let's get into the association here. Now, as I said on the previous show, the regular season ended on Sunday. And one thing I found really cool, and it depends on how you feel about this, but in the Western Conference, there's 10 playoff teams. That's right, 10. The 1 seed, Oklahoma City, and the 10 seed, well, who's now been bounced, was Golden State. They were separated by only 11 games. That is insane parity. Do you think that's a good thing for the league?
Absolutely. And I think this is where you're extending it as you look at the Eastern Conference. Boston, number one, was separated from number two, ended up being the Knicks, but it was Milwaukee for much of the season by at least 14 games. Now you look at these two halves of the playoffs and you think, which one's going to be more exciting to watch? I'm much more excited to watch the West, to watch that parity, than to watch Boston, you know, rum ram shot over everyone in the East. As long as it's parity with good teams, right? The NFL to me is parity with a lot of mediocre teams, only a few good quarterbacks. I'd much rather watch this parity where it's a lot of good, exciting teams, and I don't know who's going to win night to night.
So in the classic old man Josh Lamb NBA, you would have the one seed and the eight seed would be separated by like 25 games, you know, and so it'd be a foregone conclusion that who gives a shit about teams 7 and 8. Now, I'm not saying that the Kings and the Lakers down there at the bottom, I'm not saying that they are title contenders, but can they possibly make the conference finals?
Absolutely. And isn't that what's great? I mean, about this NBA is old man Josh was ignoring the playoffs until the beginning of June or the end of May, right? He was like, call, wake me up for the semis, right? But now I'm going to sit down. I have no idea who's going to win Clippers Mavericks. I don't know who's going to win New York Philly, if that's what it turns out to be, if Philly can lock up that seventh spot tonight. So the unpredictability is why we tune in live. It's the last thing we need live TV for.
I like it. I like the parody. I think it's great. And, of course, the league loves it because they've added two more, air quotes, playoff teams. What's going to stop them from adding two more, you know, in the next year or two? Why not at this point? Who gives a shit?
The whole league will be making the playoffs by then.
Pretty much. I mean, like, if the Big Ten and the SEC can have 40 teams in their conferences, why not the NBA and NHL have 14-team playoffs? No one cares. No, there's no checks and balances system, really, to tell you the truth. The thing is, really, you got to be in the top three or four to actually make a difference in the whole thing. Speaking of top teams, Boston, who had the best record in the NBA with 64 wins and only 18 losses, are they a false giant?
I don't think they are a false giant, but I don't think they are 14 games better than the second best team. I expect them to come out of the East, but the road's going to be tougher than it looked in the regular season. I mean, they got so many wins from Washington and Detroit and Charlotte. It makes them look better than they are, but they're a deep team. They're a flexible team. You know, they can play a lot of different styles. They're a team that's been there many times already. So I would imagine that they're still going to be the favorites and should be the favorites to come out of the East.
Do you make anything, is it a nothing burger or is it a something burger that the fact that Boston is the only team this year to blow 20-point leads in the second half of games to bad teams?
It is a something burger. I do think it's, and would you be surprised at all if they lost a game to the Sixers because they weren't executing in crunch time, because Tatum was throwing up threes instead of working it down low? Absolutely not. But, you know, if the teams in the East were better, I would be worried on Boston's behalf. The teams in the East aren't good enough.
I agree with you. If I were a betting man, and I am, would the wise bet be right now? Now, here's what I like. Having looked at the sports book for the NHL and the NBA, there's no runaway favorites in either one to win the title. Would the wise bet in the NBA to bet on Denver repeating?
Absolutely. They do everything Boston does better. They're as flexible, but their players are more versatile. They've got more size. They've actually won. And you know who doesn't blow 20-point leads, except when Wembanyama does it to them, is the Denver Nuggets, right? Other than that one game, they're incredible in crunch time. And in those last 5 minutes, they show everyone why they were last year's champs.
Should they win this year and then contend next year, does that hurt the league? Because they are fundamentally good, but they are unsexy. If that makes any sense at all.
Are they unsexy? We're going to debate the sexiness of the Nuggets.
Yes, yeah.
They're not interested in the spotlight like some other stars are, right? Jokic is not interested in doing commercials. He's interested in watching horses in Eastern Europe. But I think they're fun to watch. And that's what matters most, not whether or not you want to be in State Farm commercials. What matters is your team exciting to watch, and the Nuggets are exciting to watch? I think that's good for the league.
Yeah, and Jokic, man, he does everything right, and he's very hard to defend, and he passes well. He's unsexy. Let's just put it out there. Like, he scores points, he grabs boards, and he passes the ball, and they win. And even though they weren't the one seed, but they're one game out of the one seed, so it really doesn't really even matter, you know, because if we could assume Oklahoma City is good enough to get to the Western – well, do you think Oklahoma City is good enough to get to the conference finals?
I don't. I think they're deep, but I think they're too young. And it's still – it's a cliche, but it's a cliche that remains true, that experience matters in the NBA playoffs.
I agree with you. So if we're looking into the future, who's playing this finals? Because Giannis is out. According to the Bucks, he's not going to be playing, which – really sucks for Dame Lillard, because all that guy ever did was drop 45 and 15 assists for the past decade on a shitty team. He goes to Milwaukee, and now Giannis isn't healthy, so he can't do nothing about it. Who's in the finals?
I mean, isn't the lesson of Lillard the same as the lesson of Garnett, which is don't wait too long? Don't stay on that crappy team for too long. Like, when you hit 30, you better get out and get yourself onto a better team.
It's called the Carl. It's called the Carl Malone Award. You know.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Not that we should give any awards with Carl Malone's name on them, but
right.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna have to choose chalk. If I was a betting man, I would take Boston, Denver. I don't see anyone, as much as I'm rooting against Boston, right? I just don't see anyone that can beat them. And I think those great teams in the West, other than Denver, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City specifically, are too young. And I just think Anthony Edwards is not ready for that spotlight, and Shea's not ready for that spotlight.
I agree with you. And a Denver-Boston final, that would have to be a seven gamer. That would have to be good. You would have.
I would hope so. And it would, the adjustments, the different, the, you know, the names, it would be a very exciting, more exciting than last year's Heat Denver finals for sure.
If you were a sorry individual that represented yourself as a Knicks fan, would you have to be over your skis as to the success that they're having this year and moving forward?
I would be definitely putting on my Tims and parading through the streets. You know, they're 20-3 with OG Anunoby. Like, when he's healthy, they're as good as anybody. And so, and Brunson looks like a star. He is a star. He doesn't look like one. He is one. And they've got a move to make still, right? If they can take Randall at some contracts and make and upgrade that position, they're as good as any team in the league. They're going to be super fun to watch in these playoffs. But they're going to go against Embiid and the Sixers and Maxey and Nick Nurse right away. That's not going to be easy.
And the Heat are still the Heat. I mean, you know, there are still teams that are going to be there. I heard this long ago, and I've bought into it, and that is New York, no matter what you say about the Giants, Jets, Mets, Yankees, that is a basketball town. When the Knicks are good, that town is a poppin'. That's what I've always heard. And it would be exciting if they were good consistently and there was some excitement to go on there. It's Madison Square Garden.
It's better for the whole league, isn't it? I mean, even like watching those Atlanta games a couple of years ago where Trae Young was beating them and putting his hand to his ear, like, anytime the crowd is in it, it's a better game to watch and it's a better sport.
Yeah, no one goes, you know, thank God Milwaukee's good right now because, you know.
I remember you actually saying this to me years ago. I think It was probably the 2010 series between the Lakers and the Thunder. You're like, nobody chants beat OKC. Right? Nobody, I mean, that
what did I say?
Nobody chants beat OKC. those teams without history, the teams without the fans that really like pump up the room.
Yeah.
They don't bring the same kind of weight to the league that those, the staples do.
Right.
The traditions.
When you go to the Boston Gardens and they have the Beat LA, you know, signs and shirts and all that, nobody, they don't even take the time to print Beat OKC. I mean,
that's right.
Gives a shit.
There's no Beat New Orleans shirts, right?
Right.
We're not worried about it.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere at all. We'll be right back after this very important thing. Or whatever.
All right, maybe I wasn't the greatest player of all time, but fans, they forgive and forget. When I go in here, they'll be buying me my favorite beer, Light Beer Familiar.
You, Bob Uecker?
Yeah, how you doing? These fans, I love them. They know us ex-big leaguers drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Well, can't keep the gang waiting.
The fans are always joking.
Light Beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
Wow, they're having a good time in there.
You're listening to the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Now back to the show, you handsome devils.
All right, we're back. It's the JLSBX, Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for doing all that you do. Hey, rate us wherever you listen to us. A 1 through 5. Give us a 5, please. If you give us a 1, send us that hateful mail and tell us why we could be better. That's what we're here for. I had a good time today. It was awesome. I had TJ Fuller, a good friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time. Frank Rapier and Dennis Brown, they always come in smoking. They bring the heat. They're good to go. All that stuff. Also, be looking out on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and the Facebook polls, because the Facebook polls is where it's at. April Radness is upon us, so you need to get involved in that, and we will keep you updated throughout the shows. Other than that, I don't really have anything other than the Mets started 0-5 and now they're 12-8. They won a bunch of games in a row. You don't care, but I do. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing.
Just like your opinion, man.